The Māori Battalion War Medal presentation ceremony in Waitangi that was postponed earlier this year due to extreme weather is taking place this weekend. The ceremony is to commemorate the Māori soldiers who were never awarded their World War II medals. Te Mata Loa has been on something of a crusade to return these medals to whānau, and the principal of Te Mata Loa, David Stone, is with us today. Thank you for your time, David. Tēnā koe, welcome.
Morena, Matsu, morena.
Morena. So this is at Waitangi, where the ceremony is taking place. How satisfying has it been for you personally, David, to have helped steward this kaupapa forward so that those who were deserving of these tohu finally do get the recognition they are due, even though many years have passed?
It'll be even more rewarding when it's finally finished on Saturday. But no, it's incredibly rewarding. I mean, we've just come back from Italy with Sir Bom Gillies, the last surviving Māori battalion soldier, and it was a good reminder of why we're doing this kaupapa, particularly when he was standing under the gateways to several of those urupā over there, and there he was standing as the last soldier in remembrance of all his comrades that have passed on, and that we only just come back from there. And it was a good reminder and a good gateway into our presentation this coming Saturday.
Has it fulfilled what you hoped might occur by a bit of extra effort here to see not just Bond, but also the effect that this recognition all these years on has had on the whānau of those soldiers who served?
Oh, absolutely. This coming Saturday, we don't just have medals for our Māori battalion soldiers, but we found out that there were some who served in World War One, and a couple of families are getting medals from Gallipoli for where their tūpuna fought, and then obviously from there they went on to become soldiers in World War Two for the Māori Battalion. And we also have our very first mana wahine Māori nurse getting her family getting her medals on Saturday too, which starts off a whole new kaupapa, to be honest.
And tell us, please, for a moment, how many medals have actually been returned overall so far and how emotional have these ceremonies been?
In terms of numbers, after Saturday, I think we would have exceeded 1,400 medals from World War One, World War Two, and Korea. And that will be our seventh presentation, and it's every single presentation from the first to no doubt this one on Saturday has been incredibly emotional and incredibly rewarding. So it's been sad and elating at the same time.
Can you talk for a moment, please, David, about the Te Rau Aroha Gallery at the Treaty Grounds dedicated to the A Company?
Yeah, that's a beautiful place. I went in there a few months ago, and of course we're having the presentation in front of the whare there. It's stunning. It's beautiful. You know, it's really modern. I think it's. I think other museums could learn a thing or two from what they've done on the Waitangi grounds. I think it's absolutely beautiful.
You put a lot of yourself into this work. Do you think that we have learnt from the exercise? How might we be better at acknowledging contribution as a nation going forward?
You're right, Matsu, and I think you're absolutely right. I think we have learnt. I think we've learnt several things, both in terms of how we honour and pay our respects to those soldiers, and not just those Māori battalion soldiers, but there were subsequent other theatres of war that our men and women participated in, and I think there were some other veterans from other campaigns that didn't receive the full acknowledgement that they should have. And I think that this kaupapa has ramifications for Māori and Crown relationships right across the board.
Tēnā koe. So that's it's a lot of medals, a lot more than I actually thought had been returned to whānau, David. Where and when is the next ceremony planned for?
The eighth and final presentation will be at Haungere Marae and Pakipak in Hastings. We received a phone call from the Army about a month ago, saying that in terms of tikanga, because that was where they started and they had the first presentation there, they thought it was appropriate to take the kaupapa there back again to finish it and to wind it all up and to formally close this kaupapa.
Tēnā koe. And can I talk about some of your other work? I mean, I know, for instance, over the years, David, you have at times represented guys who live on the fringe of our society, some gangsters along the way. What are you making of this government's projected heavy-handed attitude towards gangs, and will there be some legal challenges to governmental moves, are you anticipating?
Yeah, well, I'm a lawyer that specialises in, well, immigration and Māori land issues and Waitangi Tribunal cases, and I think one of the upsides of National getting in is that, unfortunately, I'm going to be very busy in the months and years to come. I got a bit tired of all the rhetoric from the politicians in terms of being tough on crime and all that sort of stuff, and of course, for those who are, worried and concerned about things, that there's a certain level of appeal to those voters. But I, being on this side and representing people who have gone through the criminal justice system and knowing all the things that I do know, where there is just wholesale systemic inherent racism and bias everywhere throughout the whole, from start to finish, I know that there are massive underlying issues which I don't think many politicians are genuinely really aware of, to be completely honest. And if they're really serious about addressing the statistics and the issues, locking them up is, in my opinion, the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. I really think there's a lot of work that needs to go in before they even get to that point. For example, there are so many people in prison who have drug and alcohol problems, yet they do not receive the help and assistance that they need in terms of addressing their health and addiction problems. Instead, they simply get locked up. They don't get the help and the real medical help that they need. And when they get out, they still have those problems. They go and reoffend, and they're back in again. All of that could be nipped in the bud if they're actually provided the real help that they need.
Tēnā koe. And of course, on the other hand, too, a kaupapa where the new government says they'll cease funding to cultural report writing. It's some kaupapa, I'm sure, that judges benefit from a clearer understanding of the reality of the lives of those who stand before them. What do you make of the knocking off funding to cultural report writing, David?
Oh, 100%. I think that's a massive failing. We filed and led the Oranga Tamariki inquiry, which finished a couple of years ago, and I mentioned that because we recently acted for someone who was appearing before the parole board, and we attempted to put all the history in terms of what happened to that person while he was in state care, and they would not accept it at all. That helps form the package of who that person is standing in front of them. Not that I'm justifying what they've done, but it certainly goes a long way to providing context and understanding as to why they're standing in front of them. But all of that was completely disregarded, and I think that's a huge failing. And the failure to, well, the attempt to get rid of the cultural reports and all that's the sort of stuff that we're talking about, and that's one example of why that's really important, because each person that appears before a judge or a parole board or whatever the case may be, there's a story behind that person, and there's a reason why they're standing there.